purpose. Okay, the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors is now in session. We are at 9:02. Please stand. And Mr. Smith, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Oh, our dear Creator, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for your care for us, and we thank you for the leadership and the people that are here in this room. We ask that the result of today will be to the blessing of the people of our county. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, we're going to do a roll call. We've got, Supervisor Valenzuela.
I'm here.
Supervisor Houch.
Present.
Supervisor Harris.
Present.
Supervisor Cobbseth.
Here.
And Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
Thank you.
Moving on to presentations from the public. Please note this time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented, if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record. Prior to providing your comments, please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. Now, I have 2 blue cards here. If you want to address items in consent, you can wait until we have public comment on consent, or you can do it now, whichever you prefer. So do we have any presentations from the public in the room? Come on up. And I don't believe I have a card from you.
No.
Here, you can fill one out when you're done.
Okay. My name is Marilyn Anderson, and I'm here to voice a concern for the...
Can you step up a little closer?
There you go. Yes. I'm Marilyn Anderson, and I'm here to voice my concern over the proposed building of a new apartment complex next to Deer Creek Apartments on Deer Creek Way. And Deer Creek Apartments is a senior complex. And I'm just concerned for our safety and our well-being and our quality of life if this apartment complex is built. I understand that mentally ill people and people with substance abuse and others will be living there. And the traffic will be really bad in and out. But our safety, we're concerned about that, being seniors and being more vulnerable than the other people probably in the town. And Deer Creek Way has one way in and one way out. And if there's a calamity and the road would be blocked, nobody would be able to leave. And so... I would just like to maybe have you think about your home and having that apartment building next to you, next door to you. It puts it in a different light. And we're just concerned about it, and we just wanted you to know about that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else in the room? Anyone online?
Okay.
Moving forward to consent. Do we have any public comment on items on consent? I see Don Marie. And then Paul McCoy after that, please.
Don Marie Autry. I'm here to talk about the Danco Apartments. I know that people don't want it in their backyard, but Crossroads, Emerald Points didn't want it there either. It's been there 6 months. If you look on Zillow, the property value has actually gone higher. It hasn't gone lower. It's not a slum. It's very nice. Cops have been called one time, in 6 months. That is wow. Wow. So how many times have the cops been called at Deer Creek right now for different situations for their establishment? I'm just saying, don't listen to a bunch of people. No one wants it in their backyard. It has to be somewhere. We need housing terribly bad. And the only way to get these people off the hill is to help them. We're going to spend the money anyway, and this turns out to be cheaper than doing it the way we're doing it right now. It's not working. So doing this will help. Housing first helps. I'm begging you to please vote yes. Please care about our citizens. Other than, you know, some of those people on that hill are taxpayers. Some of those people on the hill work. Some of those people on the hill actually vote. That's something to keep in mind. They might not be in your district, but they have family in your district who vote, who talk to people, who can encourage them to vote for you. So that's like a vote for that they voted, that I feel. So pay attention to what is going on. Help us with this housing. Help us with this homeless problem. Please. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Dominique. Paul McCoy.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Sir. That's okay. Name for the record.
Yes. Hello, I'm Paul McCoy. I'm a local resident, 811 Cedar Street, and I'm Yreka City Council Mayor Pro Tem. I'm here representing myself, but also wanted to provide information about a Yreka City Council vote on a project, which is the Danco. It's a home key project. I believe it's on the consent calendar as 5I. I am also the city, so I want to provide you information about our city council on this project. I'm also the city of Yreka representative on the local advisory board for Continuum of Care, also known as COC. On January 21st, the Yreka City Council voted 5-0, unanimously approving a grant application in partnership with Danco to apply for funding a new build cottage cluster style home key supportive housing project. The city is attempting to take a more active role in helping bring about solutions for the United States homeless crisis affecting us locally here in Siskiyou County. We have partnered with the county on the pallet shelter project, which is coming along nicely on Lower Foothill next to the Beacon of Hope, and we are optimistic that the county will be opening that facility sometime in March. We value our relationship with the county, and specifically the team at Health and Human Services, dedicated to working on projects like these that will positively impact getting homeless individuals off our streets and into housing. The city of Yreka has also partnered with RCHDC as well as Danco, and we have a workforce housing project in concept with Danco, and we are attempting to facilitate a home key project with Danco as well. The city is also engaged with RCHDC for other possible housing project options in Yreka, as we are aware that the lack of housing has a direct correlation to how many homeless people are on our streets. This item before you about the grant for Home Key is a letter confirming that the Siskiyou County Health and Human Services Departments would provide the required case management services to the proposed Home Key site. If the grant were funded and the city was able to move forward on construction, the Health and Human Services Department currently services the same clientele, and this would streamline that work for your staff as they would be centralized in the new Home Key site. We know in order to help solve this problem, we will need to be good partners to the county and put up our own resources when available, and we are doing so now with this grant application for a Home Key project in Yreka. So please help the city solve homelessness, and I encourage you to pass this today, to vote for it and support this letter. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. McCoy. Anyone else in the room? Anyone online?
Shall we go online?
Perfect. Moving forward. What are the wishes of the board?
I'd like to pull aye.
And I'd like to pull 5A.
Okay.
Five A is an apple.
I move to approve the balance of the consent agenda.
Second.
For vote?
Excuse me. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yeah.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Item 5A.
Yes.
I just want to acknowledge appreciation for this. For those of you in the room that do not understand what Tyler Technologies is going to provide, it's a new software system for the county, which has been under banner for far too long. This should have happened decades ago. And so I just applaud the county administration and the auditor's office for bringing this forward. I know we have one-time money that will go towards this that we haven't had available in the past. Yes, it's a huge investment, but it will bring efficiencies that will reduce costs of the archaic system that we have currently. So I appreciate it greatly. Thank you. And I would move to approve.
I'll second that. It's a quick discussion. So I would just say that sense of frustration, even when I came on, which Michael by now knows, been many years. So I'm grateful that we are moving forward and that it's long overdue. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And Sherry, Deputy County Administrator, I share your sentiment. I'm excited about this project. I know we've discussed in the past that there will be challenges. I'm not naive in that respect. The team that we're going to bring on for the implementation is on board. There may be some restructuring with our chart of accounts. I think just a crosswalk to clean up legacy data that may no longer be useful. Those will present challenges, but we're prepared for it and we are excited. And if all goes well, hopefully in a year, we will have a new finance system. Once we implement finance, we'll crosswalk into human resources. Once that is all implemented, we have the option to move into a new timekeeping system, which will give us an opportunity to get rid of Kronos and to have further cost savings. So, in general, implementing Tyler Technologies is going to save the county money in the long run.
Thank you, Sherry.
Ready for a vote?
Yep.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Absolutely.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item I.
Good morning, Chairman Ogren, or Chairwoman Ogren, sorry, and members of the board. Madeline Bryan, Housing Coordinator for Health and Human Services. I believe Dr. Collard is online. She was not able to make it today due to weather conditions. And we also have some members of the city's team for this project online as well, if there are questions that I cannot answer.
So I have a lot of questions with this. How many people do we currently have on the hill?
The number varies from month to month.
On average, currently?
I would say it probably averages about 30, ranges from about 20 to 50.
Okay. Current status of Crossroads, is it full?
It's nearly full. We have two of the No Place Like Home units, those are for people exiting homelessness, available. And I believe when I last spoke with the property management team, there were seven of the low-income units available. But just to clarify, not being leased up doesn't mean that they're available, because it's a very long process to get into Crossroads. So although there are two units open, there's already a waiting list. It's just that they're working through collecting the documentation with the individuals that have already applied.
Okay. How many beds is Basecamp going to have?
32 beds.
Okay, and then the pallet shelter will be how many?
15.
So, currently, the projects that we have slated that we haven't completed yet would cover the total amount of people that are currently residing on the hill?
clarify, the project is not none of these projects are limited solely to Yreka. We serve the entire county. In our last homeless census count, we had 507 individuals experiencing homelessness. So we don't anticipate that any of these projects will fully meet the need of this population in our community.
Okay,
I'd also like to clarify, just in comparing the projects, Base Camp and the pallet shelters are temporary housing based on one-time grants, and Crossroads is permanent supportive housing. So that's housing where they have a lease, a regular lease, and it's not time limited.
So with this, then, just correct me if I'm wrong, under the Prop 1 funds, this is designated towards mental health homelessness?
It's for people with behavioral health challenges, so, or veterans. Those are kind of the two priority populations for the HomeKey grant. But I'd also like to clarify, just in case there's any misunderstandings based on public comments, the county, our department is not presenting you with an application for HomeKey Plus, just to make that clear. We are not proposing submitting an application. We were approached by the city of Yreka to be to provide services to individuals in their project, which is aspirational at this point, should they be awarded the grant funds and complete the project.
Okay.
So merely to provide the services, not to provide the housing, if that makes sense.
So at this point, when you're talking about the entire county, you know, it's concerning that we would be pulling all of the behavioral issue people, the mental health people, from the rest of the county to Yreka. You know, maybe some of our goal here should be to expand some of these into other locations, you know, putting something in, say, Mount Shasta that serves the Mount Shasta area.
Yeah.
Seems like we're just kind of making Yreka a homeless haven,
so,
and that's a problem.
Thank you for bringing up that point. You are not alone in that concern. We've heard from other board members in the past the need to diversify our projects geographically across the county. We're making efforts in that direction. I think we have more to do, but it really helps us when a city can partner with us and it's not just the county isolatedly doing a project. That's why we appreciate this opportunity to partner with the city of Yreka. And the city of Mount Shasta is a partner now on a project. So we are partnering with the city of Mount Shasta on a development for low-income housing with a few units set aside for individuals experiencing homelessness, what we call permanent supportive housing. That project was awarded tax credits from the state late last year. And we'll be breaking ground on that project with the city of Mount Shasta, likely in spring or summer this year. Well, we'll be, probably summer this year. So I totally appreciate that point, and we are trying to do projects in Mount Shasta and have one, you know, in progress that we're really excited about.
So how many staff does this involve from the county?
So the services that we'd be providing to this potential aspirational HomeKey project of the cities are services we already provide. So it wouldn't be any new service. It would simply be that rather than helping people with housing and that service, we would be just providing the services. So from our departmental perspective, we see it as a win because now we're helping people by searching all over Yreka for them to get them to an appointment, or helping them, you know, with housing financially. So we see it as a win to have a project that the city could do where we could focus on doing what we do best, which is the services. The main staffing for the project would involve a peer specialist and probably two case managers. And we estimate a portion of a clinician up to about 0.5 FTE and a psychiatrist at about 0.25 FTE. The population that this project serves is a population we're already required to provide services to and already serving.
And this is a 15-year commitment, which will end up coming out just south of $10 million?
I have in the letter, I have the 5-year commitment, so just doubling that, accounting for...
Well, tripling that, correct?
Yes, sorry, tripling that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little hesitant with not having an MOU. This is kind of the passage to find out what's in it. With the commitment letter, without actually seeing what direction your services are going to go, I feel like we may be a little premature. Not saying I'm completely against everything, but I feel like we're premature with writing a commitment letter without actually having outlined what services we plan to provide.
Yeah, this is a challenge we often face, that the state rarely provides sufficient time in their grant applications to allow for full development of documents beforehand. So it's standard practice to provide very basic outlines and then to negotiate complete details with more time when the project is actually going through. Typically, if there is no project, then we don't have an MOU. So we don't usually have an MOU for a project that doesn't exist. And we, rarely have the time. Sometimes, I've seen application windows for housing grants of 6 months, which is really generous. That's not typical and not usually for competitive grants. We want to be the partner to the city, and this project is awarded on a rolling basis. So the earlier that they can apply, the better their chances are of securing their project.
So just one last thing to clarify. Our vote today does not stop or start the process that the city of Wairika is doing. This is basing our vote on the funds spent on services.
This vote, it doesn't change the services that the county would be providing, because as I said, these are services we already provide. It would just be a commitment for us to, it really just formalizes what we already do for this population as something that we would be doing with this project. The reality is, if the city were to do the, move forward with the project, without that commitment from us, those people would still be eligible for those services, if that makes sense. But the state wants to see that they have their partnerships lined up and that they know what they're doing in order to submit the application. This is not a vote on, it's just a vote to be their partner in the project by providing services.
And commit almost $10 million.
Yes, in funding across 15 years funding that we already receive and spend on these services. Not, just to be clear, we wouldn't have to necessarily go out and get a new grant to fulfill this commitment. We may have grants that might be best used towards this project rather than doing something new, but we already have funding to provide mental health services. We already have funding to assist people with getting Medi-Cal, CalFresh. We already have funding for case management. So does that make sense? It's not approving a new dollar amount. It's what it is the county is doing this anyways. And it presents an opportunity for us to use funding that the county has for the city to leverage it. That's what it is. They're able to use the resources that the county has brought in and leverage that as something our community is doing to show that the project is feasible, has support, and that they can use that to make their grant application, more competitive.
Thank you.
Go. Okay. if somebody's asked maybe a different way. Is the county the only entity that can be the lead service provider?
The county is likely the only entity that would meet the experience requirements of the lead service provider. That doesn't mean that we couldn't have use our contracted providers to provide the services. You know, some of the services that are in here are services that we may provide through a community partner like the Resource Center.
I guess what I'm struggling with, we're always the first on the hook. Has there been any outreach to any provider other than the county to be the lead?
I would defer to the city on that question. I'm not sure if they approached anyone else to be the lead service provider. It's my understanding that HomeKey does have requirements that the lead service provider have extensive experience serving this population.
Well, many NGOs do.
I don't know if there is anyone from the city online that would like to address that question.
I think we just reflect that there would be other options, but they apparently weren't explored. The question I have too is that it says in the paperwork that I have in front of me, there's no financial impact at this time. What if it's committed? What is the financial impact?
So in the letter, we provide evaluation, an approximate evaluation of our services, which include everything that we would be offering to the residents for approximately $540,204 annually. The reason there isn't any separate accounting for this is because those are services that are already either mandated by the state or approved by the board that we're already providing.
So if the funding falls short, where is the shortfall made up from?
It's my understanding, and perhaps Dr. Kulard could chime in here, that almost none of Health and Human Services funding is provided from any general fund dollars. It's provided through Medi-Cal, Mental Health Services Act funding, housing grants such as PLHA and HHOP, and in terms of a shortfall of funding, that would be a shortfall of funding for services we already provide. So if Mental Health Services Act dollars are fewer than they were, it would be the same as in any other situation that the county has dealt with in the past. Because we're providing the services that are already funded through the county. I think in the letter I list the funding sources. PLHA, Medi-Cal, Mental Health Services Act, homeless housing and prevention, and other funds, depending on what services people choose to accept. For example, someone could be eligible for an IHSS worker, you know, and then we work with them to secure that, and that service would be funded the way it's always funded. Not all of these services are housing programs, so I don't directly work on the funding for every service that our agency provides.
I get it. With the 15-year commitment, what I'm looking at is the uncertainty of California's budget. I don't count on anything tomorrow continuing the way it has been in the past, especially if they don't get their act together on some of the things they are spending money on. From a legal perspective, if there is a shortfall and it's not made up by the state, are we mandated then to pick up that difference?
To the extent that these services are already mandated, yes. I would defer to county council review this letter and didn't provide any concerns about that. I share your concern though about future budget issues, and that is part of why our department is presenting this letter as well, because as you know, Prop 1 will require counties to spend a percentage of their behavioral health MHSA funds on housing, right? Dr. Collard has mentioned in the past her desire to submit a request for a waiver on that requirement so that we can continue to have those funds available to support the resources that we already do and the community partners that we contract with. However, in order to have a case to get that waiver from the state, we need to demonstrate that we have supported housing projects in the ways that we can in other ways, right? And we consider this to be an easy win in demonstrating we've provided other housing resources for our community, because the city would be the lead and would be managing the project and providing the housing, freeing up more of our funding for services and less for housing, while still demonstrating to the state that we have made the efforts. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It just makes me nervous. Who's responsible for maintenance of this facility?
The developer would be responsible for maintenance. The developer is Danco Communities, which is also the developer that the City of Mount Shasta partnered with for the project in Mount Shasta. They have lots of experience. They have developed many different types of housing, and including several home key projects. Some of their team are online now, I see, if you had any questions for them about the upkeep of the property.
Not specific at this time. So from a, at the end of 15 years, what happens to the facility?
The facility, I believe, has a much longer commitment than 15 years.
But without a funding commitment.
Well, we are only proposing to fund our own services, not to fund their maintenance. So we would not be funding property maintenance.
Correct.
Yes.
But will the facility be owned by the city at that point?
What's typical, and I don't know if the city has completed all of their negotiations and details with the developer, but what is typical is that jurisdictions don't like to own the properties. They prefer for the properties to be owned and the responsibility of the developers. So what I expect to be the case is that Danco would be the owner and the property manager of the facilities. Typically, these projects require a 55-year commitment from developers. For example, with Crossroads, the county had to make a 20-year commitment, but that project has a 50-year commitment from the developer.
And in the selection of occupants, in your letter, it says that there was a effort in Project Home Key to focus on homeless vets. Is there a priority for vet placement over general population, or is it just?
That's a decision for the city to make as the applicant. I think if the board was interested and gave us that direction, we could approach them about reserving units for that population. Ultimately, we're not applying for the Home Key project, but I think that that's a conversation that we can have with them.
I understand. You're asking me to support it, and one of the tenets of the legislature passing that was veterans, and that sure makes a big difference to me. My final question is more of a legal one, I guess, for counsel. Who's liable for slip and fall, wrongful death, those kinds of things that may occur within a government-operated facility?
Well, in this case, it wouldn't be the county, because it's not the county's project.
Mm-hmm. we wouldn't be so named as the lead?
For providing services. At the location, will the services be provided at the location?
Some services could be provided on-site and some provided off-site. But the owner of the property would be the developer, Danco.
So it would really depend on whether the county had control over any part of that facility. So for example, if we rented out office spaces at the location and were in control of a certain part of the facility, then potentially.
We have we have no intention of renting space at the facility.
Yes, real quick. So I'm glad to hear that there's the city of Mount Shasta wants to partner, because I think this is something that's drastic in the United. Housing is probably the most critical piece of this county moving forward, whether it's homeless workforce or whatever. And I would say this just as an observation for as long as I've been a supervisor. I don't see homeless people from Mount Shasta coming to Wairika or vice versa. They tend to be in their own little pockets. And I'm glad to hear that it would be available, because maybe there is people that, if they can find housing, that's the key, right? So I just want to make that observation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Just to respond to that, we attempt to connect people with their homes, the places they want to live in. So even if they are in Wairika when they apply for services, if their desire is to live in Mount Shasta, we would work with them to try and identify housing in Mount Shasta. Conversely, if somebody living in another area of the county wanted services in Wairika, our staff could assist them with transportation to get to Wairika and explore that service.
Through the chair. So in this letter, it says that supportive services will be delivered in coordination with a property management team that will fulfill the housing-related services such as lease enforcement, property upkeep, and maintenance. So is part of this funding commitment assist in those areas as well?
No, this is an in-kind commitment for services.
So if we're already support, if we already finance essentially these services, why is this required? Because it doesn't get in the way of the city of Wairika building this facility if they fulfill that the grant requirement, correct?
So the part of the grant requirement is demonstrating you have the partnerships to implement the project, including a lead service provider. Right now, in order to provide mental health services to someone, we may be assisting them with emergency housing as well. So if the individual was in this project, if the city was successful in developing it, that same individual would be someone we could provide services to without spending time and effort and money on their housing.
Okay, so.
So we see it as a win that there for at least the population we serve that would be in those units, they would have less complex cases for us to assist them with in their lives.
But I've heard that with Crossroads and Base and Pallet, and yet we're still in, the two that you say that are available. It's complicated. It's a long process. So, and yet we were told when this went through that, the hill was going to be gone, and yet it's still there and growing. So, help me out. Where's the, the evidence that we're actually doing what you indicate here?
So, in terms of evaluating Crossroads, some measures that are often used to evaluate permanent supporting are how long the individual stays in that housing, how they rehabilitate their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's early to say because most people haven't been there long, very long to say that they've managed to stay in that housing for, you know, X number of years.
That's good, but you said you have two vacancies and it's very complicated, very long process to get people in it.
Yes.
And you have a long waiting list.
Yes.
So
we don't pay
why
any
aren't
of those
you expediting
systems.
That? I guess is the bottom line.
Yeah. So it's the process that is outlined for Crossroads is not developed by the county. The federal and state government provide very prescriptive housing programs. So we follow the intake process that we are required to by the federal government. Do we find it burdensome? Absolutely.
Okay.
Is it what we would want? No. And a piece of the intake is not handled at all by the county. You know,
okay.
We only handle the part that's related to us, verifying eligibility that only the county could, for example, like if they have a serious mental disorder that reaches the level of a disability, you know, the property, the county could verify that, not the property. But other pieces, a good chunk of it is handled by the property. And there are many, many layers of funding requirements to the project. So I totally agree with you. I would love for it to be more expedited, and we try to find ways to lower barriers, but there's a lot that's out of our control.
Understood, and I guess that brings me to the point that I'm trying to get to. You know, this is state and federal money, no matter what. It's not general fund, as you indicated, we understand that. I, as a board member, have been guilty, this board has been guilty of basically ignoring state and federal money because it didn't affect the general fund. But I think there's a time of now beginning to take a look at that, because these grants and these state and federal dollar tentacles that get into local government expand what local government is mandated to do. Even though we always are told that it's more efficient, it's a win-win, the long term of this, it sucks the life out of local dollars that now those services that should have been going to our residents directly. So I have great difficulty with this. I have great difficulty with committing this amount of money that we're already providing. So if we're already providing it, there's no need to further commit.
Well, we're providing.
Let me continue to finish. We know that the federal government is coming up on budget crisis. So is state government, and if there is any cuts or decreases in the amount that behavioral health or human services should receive in state or federal money, it's going to trickle down, but it doesn't accommodate that in this letter. And lastly, it does not have, as you indicated here, the roles and responsibilities will be further detailed in the forthcoming memorandum of understanding and MOU. That should be done first. I understand the grant process, but, you know, nothing against your department, but for me, it's tiresome to the state having to require our local staffing to jump through hoops, and whether it's city staffing as well, to jump through hoops to meet the requirements and then fill in the blanks on the other side. It doesn't work anymore. If we were efficient in what we're doing, it would show, but it's not. It's just requiring more dollars that the state and the federal government and local government doesn't have. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Kopseff. I would say that our department is concerned that the state will require us to assist people with these services and their housing costs should we not have other projects available. You know, for example, the new requirement to spend, I believe it's 30%, but I'm not the MHSA coordinator, but 30% of MHSA on housing. So we're, you know, by providing a partnership to the city where they are handling a greater part of the workload, we see it as providing the opportunity to free up county funding to provide the services. I also would like to add that data with this population is challenging because they can be difficult to reach. And over the last few years, we've been making very significant improvements to our methodology for the homeless census count. With that improvement in the methodology, we're better able to reach people. I'm not at liberty to share the numbers at this time because we are still in the data cleanup process, but what I can indicate is that for the first time, our homeless point-in-time count, when it's published, is going to be lower than it was last time. So I'm not saying that that's a perfect indicator, but it's a start. And while it's imperfect data, it is the data that we have. And in the past, that number has always gone up. So we're hoping that it's an indicator that our community locally is starting to turn around this issue.
Out of all of the people on the hill, what percentage of those people would you say you have case files on?
Well, I am a project coordinator. I don't have a caseload, and due to confidentiality and need to know requirements, I don't deal with cases unless I need to. So I'm not the best person to answer that question. I don't know if Dr. Collard, if you are on Zoom. But what I would say is likely close to, you know, when you say case files, there's many different programs, right? Many, many, many different programs in Health and Human Services. 100% of the population on the Hill is eligible for some of those services. I would say between, this is just, you know, my estimate because I don't deal with, for example, behavioral health case files. I'm not allowed to know their diagnosis unless there's a need for me to, for example, but more than half, and at times possibly nearly all of them, would be eligible for services through behavioral health.
So I'm currently being told that the amount of case files versus people on the Hill is very low, and so these people are not actually utilizing services other than what they can walk up and use. So when you talk about, you know, providing services for people in these facilities, they're already not utilizing them. So that's a concern for me too. And then, you know, we throw a price tag on it, and then we don't have a comprehensive scope of services to be provided. I don't know, it's just very, it's too much up in the air. This seems premature. So, you know, if you had 100% of those people already under services, that, you know, they were already being worked through there, you know, I don't think that I would have as much of an issue. But when we're already low on how many people are actually in the system and, you know, getting their medication and things like that, what's going to change when you want to put them in housing? And then, you know, housing for me is not just a simple solution. I don't know if you're aware, we had a local business on Minor Street that had to close for the day because of harassment from an unhoused individual. Like, those people are still going to be wandering the streets. They're still going to be causing those issues. I'd like to see a bigger solution. I talked to Sarah Clark. I would much rather see Prop 1 infrastructure money go towards a mental health facility and substance abuse facility. Because if you can staff this, then the argument of not being able to staff that facility is mute to me. And that's more of a solution because you're actually treating the people, you have an inpatient facility, and we're looking for solutions. Just stick them in a house, they're still going to be running around town causing issues. You know, to me, this doesn't solve anything other than get them out of the weather.
So I'm not a mental health professional, so I can't speak to the treatment facility and the difference between that. If Dr. Clark was here, I'm sure she could speak more on that point. But I would caution against using hearsay about who is or isn't engaging and the percentages on the Hill, because it's a controversial issue, and I frequently hear misinformation about what the county is or isn't doing. So just caution against that. And I would add that engaging someone in services is much, much harder if you don't have a place to go to find them. if they don't have a phone that can be charged to be reached, if they don't know what time of day it is because their phone is dead. So I do, so when people are in housing, we have much better success rates of engaging them.
So you're telling me you can't find them across the street from you?
Yeah, at a certain
They're right there. If they were more scattered or we had homeless all over the different hills, I would tend to agree with you, but they're literally across the street from you. You see it every day you go to work. So those people, either they're not concerned in utilizing services or something.
Yeah.
I mean, they're,
well,
they're right there.
They don't sit there the whole day, all day long. For example, there are people who I am very familiar with and have encountered many times on the hill. And when I went to do the census count, they weren't on the hill at that time. And it wasn't till several days later that I encountered them. And our staff serve the whole community, so they don't have endless amounts of time to chase after people in the day who might have gone to Walmart at the time their appointment was because they didn't know what time it was because their phone is dead.
At some point, people have to have accountability. They have a responsibility. Like, we can't save people from themselves. I know that sucks. I mean, we can save people from worse circumstances, but we can't save people from themselves. And at some point here, those people are going to have some level of responsibility. So for us to, you know, spend this kind of money to try to save them from themselves while we tell people in the community and other areas that we don't have the money to help them, this is an extreme struggle for me. You know, we have two seniors in Tule Lake that have lost services, and you know, they get told, oh, there's no money for you, but we'll go dump almost $10 million over 15 years into this issue when people are not willing to help themselves. That's very difficult.
I agree that people need to help themselves. One of our strategies is to work with people who have successfully recovered from the same challenges that that population is dealing with. So we speak with people who are formerly homeless or have been in recovery for decades, and we ask them about what led to their success in reclaiming their lives. So those are some of the strategies we use, and to understand just how difficult it is once you get into that situation to climb out, right? Even if you do want to engage in services, not having an address, not having your documents, those can be barriers, especially when you add a really severe mental illness on top of it, and or a substance use disorder. So we're dealing with a population facing really extreme challenges, and that's where the extra support is what is, you know, needed for them.
Thank you.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. We do have Dr. Clard on the line, so if you do want to hear from her or have questions pertaining to her knowledge or skill set, she is available. I received a text that she is online.
If she has anything she would like to say, I certainly would love to hear it. We can.
Yes.
Yes? Okay. I apologize for not being there in person. And I would just like to add that, as Madeline said, these are services that we are mandated to provide to this population. So with regard to there being possibly an alternative service provider, the county is a managed care plan for this population, and we're required to provide services to that population to the extent that resources are available. So Danco really doesn't have another option for a service provider for this project.
Well, so wouldn't it be insinuated then that if we're required to do that, that we wouldn't require a commitment letter that the state would know that we're mandated to provide these services and we wouldn't have to put a price tag on it?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry, it's a little muffled on the phone.
So if we're obligated to provide these services, why is a letter of commitment required when the state should already know that these services are mandated, and why are we putting a price tag on it if it's a mandated service anyways?
So the DNCO is using, they're leveraging our service commitment as part of the grant. The grant application requires that there is a service provider signed on to the project. But as Madeline mentioned, whether, you know, this actually saves the county money because, as she said, you know, currently we are providing services to this population as well as paying for housing in hotels, which I think I've shared with this board how expensive that is for us. And so by developing this project and having this population in housing, the county has more money available to provide services because we're not spending money on housing.
The grant requires that the city and DANCO, when they apply, that they demonstrate the operating services are covered. Services are just one part of the operating, and those services that we have, we're mandated to provide them, and they already are paid for by Medi-Cal and MHSA.
Then you could very well just say this could be a letter of commitment for mandated services that you already provide.
But the,
end of story.
The grant allows the city to leverage the value of our services, the effort we're putting into our community. They can leverage in the grant to demonstrate,
but
for one, that it's the one that those services are funded, and two, to get an operating match.
But you're targeting a population. It isn't countywide. It isn't for services for all residents of Cecil County. It's a targeted population.
So the services that are provided here can also be provided to the other residents who are eligible for them. They're not limited only to the Home Key project.
That isn't what this says.
So if someone is eligible for a Medi-Cal funded service or an MHSA funded service that does not require them to be homeless, they can access that service.
If they're in the Home Key program.
No.
That's what this is for. You're committing these funds to the Home Key project.
So
we're committing this fast time to the Home Key project. And again, those staff members would be serving this population on the Hill or you know, wherever they're located if the Home Key project doesn't go through.
So if I could, real quick, is it fair to say that the city of Wairika, who wanted to do this project, didn't come from us, we wouldn't be discussing this. We are already providing services to homelessness because that's what our function is, to pay for help. And to me, the money that you're talking about is money that we're going to continue to provide services, whether it's for this project or not.
Yes.
And when we talk about a number on the Hill, did I hear the number range up to 50? And I heard a point in time of 500 plus, maybe, given, and probably underreported.
Well, that number will be lowering, but yes.
Always underreported. So we're talking about a bunch of people that are really spread out through the county. And I thought I heard you say, if they could get into the program, because there's a criteria to do these things. We don't take a homeless person off the street from wherever and put them into a house. They have to go for a project, just like the one we just had the ribbon cutting for. There's a criteria,
yes.
Burdensome and all that stuff. So if the answer is not to support the city of Wairika, let's just get to the vote and get it done, and we'll keep having this problem we have out there that's going to keep manifesting unless we do something about housing. Because that's always been the issue when it comes to homelessness. There's no housing. And so I would hope, whether you guys support this or not, that you will support me when the city of Mount Shasta comes through, because we need housing down there. That's always, and I've said this before, as a supervisor, if I could wipe the slate clean, housing would be my number one issue that I would be dealing with. And I'm not talking about homeless housing. I'm talking about housing across the board up until your $1 million range, because you can get a $1 million house bill. You can't get the housing for workforce that the ski park needs or all the other places that need. So could we just move along? Because if you're not going to go with it, let's go with it.
We've long asked the city of Wairika to be more involved in solving this problem, and we are happy to see that they're taking the initiative to go after their own projects. And they have supported ours, and their support for our projects has been increasing in terms of providing funding and staff time for our projects as well. So we're pleased to see that they are taking this initiative in solving the problem with us.
And I'll just add one more thing, because I hear the veterans piece to it. There was a sign at the south end of Wairika, or the Siskiyou County, we honor our veterans. As a son of a career Marine, this county is a conservative, supports, has always supported military. I cannot envision that they wouldn't allow a veteran in there first.
But there's no priority.
That's minutia to me. I just think that, you know, they would have priority. They put it in the letter, they're going to honor veterans first. I mean, if that's the answer to the equation. My point is this. This is a needed service that we need to get with, and I'm just finding fault with some of the criteria that we're bringing up. City of Wairika wants to do this. We need to support that.
Well, so part of the Home Key Plus is not restrictive, like Crossroads. Actually, it sounds like it doesn't have any restrictions, so like where you're not supposed to have drugs and things like that at Crossroads. There's not a lot of those barriers for this, so this to me would be a high cop individual interaction area, and then putting that near a senior, you know, home facility is a little concerning as well.
And I don't disagree with that, but to me that's the city of Wairika that needs to. How are they going to handle that? We are just providing the services, and we're going to be providing the services whether that project goes through or not.
Yes, and they have leases, and they have to comply with their leases. So if they are being a bad neighbor and not deserving the project, they may have to be evicted if they're not working on improving their lives.
Then they're back home with you.
Yeah, I mean, this is a perpetual issue.
Just to be clear, in the last paragraph, it says that HHSA is committed to providing in-kind supportive services for a minimum of 15 years in the amount of annual amount of $548,000 and some change to the project. It doesn't say to countywide or other residents. It's to the project, which is this project. So you're committing these dollars strictly to this. You nothing else. You're taking away dollars that you already have that is going to be now targeted to this project only that could be used countywide.
I believe that to be a misunderstanding. We will be providing
the
same services anyways.
Then correct
it is simply
the letter.
That the grant requires this letter.
All I'm saying is I have no problem with a letter of commitment that Behavioral Health and HS Human Services is committed to mandated services for Siskiyou County, period. That's it. But you're committing dollars to a project. So that's where I'm on this one. So anyway, I would move that we do not approve this letter.
Madeline?
Yes.
Is there a way to amend the letter to address some of these concerns?
As part of your motion, you could motion for approval with changes, or I don't know if someone from the city could speak to their timeline and if it would be possible for us to bring the letter back.
Is there someone online representing the city that could do that.
Chris, are you there?
Chris Dark, I think, is there for Banjo.
There
he
is.
He's not the city, is he?
No, he's from the...
Yeah, can you hear me?
A little louder, please.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we could... It's the application has been over. Sorry, Chris Starr, the president of Anchor Communities. We are working with the city of Wairika and county staff here on this proposed project to be the sponsor developer. And the application portal has been opened for the MultiPlus program to say it's first come, first serve. And so we certainly, the portal is open until the end of March. The probability of success is based on it's first come, first serve. So certainly we can come back with revisions to the letter, whatever those might be. From our perspective, that having the letter as been spoken allows you leverage from being able to bring in additional resources for operations, which is significant in making a project like this fully funded and able to operate successfully. And so, but if it needs to change and needs to be rewritten, then certainly it could happen at a future meeting. We just would decrease our chances of success in the competition given this first come, first serve.
I think we under
through the chair.
Yes.
There's a motion on the floor. Could we deal with that motion?
We don't have a second.
Full second.
Well, there no second.
Okay. Okay. So the motion on the floor is.
I hear all that, but I think I would prefer to have heard from you because I haven't heard from you on the subject.
Well, there's so much to say. I do understand the concerns, but being a part of all these conversations and all of the different boards and committees that address homelessness and not only Wairika but throughout the county, I know there's a need for housing throughout the county, whether it's east, south, west, and if we don't build up housing, we're never going to solve this problem, ever. Even if we do build up housing, this problem is bigger than we are. We didn't create it, and now we're tasked with trying to fix it. And it's way bigger than we are. And it's not something we're going to fix in 2 weeks or 2 years. And with that, even if we do approve this project, it's going to take years to get it off the ground. This isn't something we're going to fix, you know, tomorrow. But if we don't, we're stuck in the same spot. So if we don't create these projects, if we don't move forward, we're doing nothing. And we've been doing nothing. So we have to create some kind of a fix. We have to move forward. And this is an avenue to help the city do that. I agree with Madeline that I think this is a money-saving opportunity for us. This is an avenue to utilize the services we already have that are already funded. Granted, they may not, we never know when things are going to, funding gets ripped out from underneath us. We've already seen that happen. Behavioral health and health and human services, they work day to day and never know who's going to have a job and who doesn't, what programs are going to be funded and what aren't. It's an ongoing process. So to be able to say that, you know, we can fund a project is, you know, you might have a project, you might think things are great, and the next day it's going to go, whoops, we've got to redirect, because, you know, they're at the mercy of the state, they're at the mercy of the federal government. So we never know. So to agree to support a project is a great thing, but we're always at the mercy of funding. So why not say yes? It may look good for 5 years, but then we never know what's going to happen. So how do we live our lives and work within the confines of what we have and, you know, full steam ahead until somebody pulls the rug out? What do we do? How do we do that? We would sit here and never get anything done if we said, oh, you know, we may not have the money in 5 years. We'd never get anything done. So I feel like we need to move forward. I feel like we have to support this, especially because we need to show support for our city who's trying so hard to fix this problem. And I would do the same thing for any other city that would want to lift up a program like this. I would do it for Doris. I would do it for Mount Shasta. I would do it for Happy Camp if we could.
For any incorporated
for
city. I would love for them to take the lead
and
say we want to do something.
Absolutely. So I can't see that we wouldn't want to help.
So I know we have a motion on the thing, but I would like to add one thing. You know, for as long as I've been a supervisor, and as I've been on the soapbox far too long, we are either 56, 57, or 58 on the lower end of the, because we're a poor rural county in the spectrum. And I would love to see us move the needle and I've given up on 49. Can we get to 50? This is part of that process of trying to do something. If we're not going to support this thing, could we bring it back with some amendment to address some of the concerns? Could we have the city say, we're going to prioritize a military guy to address some of the concerns? They obviously have the concerns. Can we just do something to bring, because if the time's not an element, we have to have housing. And I would hate to think if we can't get succeed here, then I'm going to lose out on Mount Shasta. And that's that I need to support them. I need to support my community. I need to support all our communities. Thank you.
Well, this is really
through the chair, this has nothing to do with the project itself. And we already declared that at the beginning of this dialogue. The city of Waukegan, if they want to go forward, that's fine. We already provide these services. There's no reason to target the amount of money that will be put towards this project. That's the biggest concern, besides the veterans thing, because, you know, I support that as well. But if you do this in a different way, but the way it's written, you're targeting the money, and you're not detailing what's, you know, service roles and responsibilities that you're going to have in this. And until you have that, you won't gain my support. It has to be declared now. Because I've heard too many times about, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it on the other side, and it gets forgotten, and then a problem comes up, and then we're looking like, well, you guys approved that, why didn't you ask the questions then? And I'm not going to do that anymore. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, Supervisor Howell.
So the chair, we get lost in the minutiae here. I have housing issues as well. Mm-hmm. The housing issues I have are, I have a tremendous need for a workforce.
Yeah.
I have a lot of
yes.
unfilled positions because I don't have housing for people who are actually working and paying taxes.
Yeah.
I don't want that to get diluted in this discussion. Because this discussion is much different.
Yep, agreed.
And one thing I can't solve is I can't solve people who just want to be nomads. And one thing I never see out of your department, not a criticism of you, but from a departmental standpoint, you know, I'm hell on staff work. One thing I'd love to see is an assessment of the people you're trying to serve. How many are unhoused because they choose to be versus unhoused because of their circumstances? I never see that information. It sure would help me because I can't solve the latter. Now, regarding the housing crisis in the county that I share with you, Supervisor Valenzuela, is we do have some control over that, and it's through private industry, but our land use zoning is so restrictive that you can't build in a lot of places in this county. And so with general plan revisions and zoning changes, then maybe we could open up some of these areas. for multi-complex housing and those kinds of things to house some of the workers that I need in my district. But that's not going to happen through these programs. So that's the juxtaposition you put me in. Every time I see Wairika coming to what I'll call the drop here for support for something in Wairika that doesn't serve the greater need throughout the county.
Anybody else before we keep going?
Call for the question.
Through the chair.
Questions and call.
So, I mean, you know, we've heard a lot of backing.
Okay. Do we want to go ahead and take the vote and then you can provide further direction if needed thereafter?
Yes. So the motion's on the table.
There is a second.
Question and call.
With the amended, for the amended.
No, not to approve.
So, and we had a second?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, call
Supervisor Kopseff moved, Harris seconded.
Okay.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
No.
Supervisor Help?
Yes.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
And Supervisor Overin?
No.
Three yeses, looks like it carries to not approve the move, the letter.
As written.
So now if the board wants to provide direction.
So one of my big issues here is we're acting like nothing has been moving forward to help this. We have two projects that are still not off the ground. That's a problem. We're seeking all of this money and all of this, and we haven't even finished what we started. How long has the process of base camp been going? I mean, how do we start, you know, we call it moving forward, but we haven't even caught up to where we are. That's a problem. We don't even know what the hill looks like when we're done with those two projects. So, you know, I feel like we're getting out over our skis here. And what is that going to do? Is if we can't fill it with the people on the hill, then we have to fill it with people from out of area so we have more mentally ill people in our community? Like, that's not what people want. I mean, people want to take care of people. All of us do. None of us are, you know, discarding these people as humans. But, like, we have to manage a community, too. And so I think that we need to look at what we have in the works and get that dialed in and see what our result is before we start expanding. Now, I completely agree with...
AU works.
One at the end?
Yeah, that guy down there. I completely agree with him on housing, but this isn't the housing that we need. We need the workforce housing. Continuing to expand this kind of housing doesn't include the workforce. It doesn't include the single mothers and the low-income people. That's where, like, if this were a facility for that, I would wholeheartedly support it. But while we're still behind on what we've started, I can't support jumping ahead and creating more. So I just want you to understand that it's not that I don't care about these people. It's that we have a responsibility to the rest of the county as well. My constituents don't like this stuff. I mean, all through campaigning, people are, you know, they want to help, but at the same time, like, people have to want to help themselves. And they made that very clear.
Okay, so do we want to give Madeline direction to rewrite the letter of support?
So I think if you could come up with something that essentially says that HSA is required, it's mandated to provide these services already. You don't have to target the amount. That way you're not...
Pardon me, the grant requires evaluation of the services.
All right, well, you're committing your in-kind supportive services in the amount of...
approximate annual amount. So
understood. I guess what I'm saying is you may need to wordsmith it to get where you want it to where, for instance, if there is a budget deficit that you get cut, that you have the ability to take it down. But mm-hmm. You're committed to mandated services, and if you want to put a value to,
I get the idea.
You need my idea. And
to
then the other
to
thing
create
is
more
that,
flexibility for future
Yes, without targeting X amount of what you already have towards a project, and that you highlight that veterans would be a priority. And somehow, an expedited process for those that need to get it, because nobody's trying to get in the way of the city of Yreka, but when you were going to put us in a position that we're targeting just certain dollars to a certain area, it's problematic when we've already done that. So,
anybody else have any
suggestions?
You covered my concerns.
Okay.
And the other thing would be the MOU. You have to put some light on that, because I'm not comfortable without some form of an MOU. I understand you may have difficulty putting it all in, but you have to give us some of the role and responsibilities that you'll be taking on.
Okay. So with that amended version.
It's a direction.
Direction.
Thank you.
Let's take a break.
Thank you.